Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films, Apples, Dreaming Walls, and Nope. Now, obviously you haven't asked me to do anything, but that just looks like the sort of text that you wouldn't want to be sending. Like, it looks like voice text gone crazy. Apples, Dreaming Walls, Nope. But
it kind of does, yeah. Well, in a way, these movies, in fact, it's an odd trio that I have chosen for this week, but I've chosen it because they are all out there and they are all available to people to see. And two of the three are, I believe, streaming by now. In any case, they're there and I've seen them, and let's talk about them. So let us begin with Apples. By the way, Nope is the big movie of the week that everybody's interested in, but I just want to build up to that a little bit. So let's begin with Apples. Apples is a Greek movie, and it is an interesting movie and a very, very quirky movie. All three of these are quirky movies, that I can say. Apples was directed and co-written by Christos Niko, and it is sort of like some people sometimes talk about a sort of a weird Greek wave of movies that there are nowadays. There are movie makers who like to make sort of peculiar films that come out of Greece. And, you know, that happens all over the place. But the filmmaker Yorgos Lanthimos is the best known of this sort of weird Greek wave gang, who has made some really, really interesting movies, especially The Killing of a Sacred Deer, Dogtooth. And so I would say that this filmmaker is very much sort of going in the direction that Lanthimos has already sort of carved out. But this movie is sort of quieter and less openly bizarre than some of Lanthimos's movies. So anyway, here's what Apples is about. A man early in the film, not at the very beginning, but very early, loses his memory. He's on a bus. The driver comes and wakes him up and says, "Where are you going?" And our main character, who it turns out eventually he has a name, but he doesn't remember his name, much less does he remember where he's going. And this is all very alarming. He's not that old a person. He's sort of, you know, a youngish man. But it turns out that other people are losing their memories. People are losing their memories all over the place. There is, we might say, a sort of pandemic, or at least epidemic, of people losing their memories. And our main character is one of them. So, fortunately, because it's been happening to so many people, or maybe unfortunately, he is brought off to a hospital, which actually has a kind of a wing, or at least a ward, devoted to all these people who have lost their memories. And the hospital has developed procedures. The hospital can't cure this condition, but the hospital says, "We can help. We can help you regain a sense of identity. We can help you regain a life that, you know, maybe a little bit like your previous life." And so here's how we do it. They set him up in an apartment, and they set him up with a tape player, and they supply him with things that he can play on the tape player, and the things they supply him with are instructions. So there he is. He's got to be living in this apartment and following all these instructions that he gets. And that sounds like that, you know, almost sort of a realistic kind of setup, except that the instructions are sort of peculiar. They'll tell him one day to go off and ride a bike. Okay, that's just fine. Yep, okay. At one point, they tell him to jump off a very high diving board. Okay, maybe this is going to help him in some way, maybe so. At one point, he is instructed to go off to a club and do a lot of dancing. When he does that, he meets a young woman who's in the same pickle that he is in. She too has lost her memory. And yes, of course, a relationship develops between them. One of the instructions is that they're supposed to have sex with each other, which they do. But it turns out that she is responding to this whole situation differently than he is. She's sort of cooler about it. Not that he's uncool. And anyway, a relationship develops between them. And by the way, the instructions get really elaborate after a while. Eventually, our main character is told that he has to go to a hospital and befriend a dying person and then go to that person's funeral. So this movie has a very dark edge to it, even though in some ways it's sort of comic. And one thing that runs through the whole film is that our main character, one thing he never forgets is that he really likes apples. And so he's eating apples frequently, and it turns, you know, that indicates that he has some shred of his regular identity still within him. And anyway, the whole thing builds to a somewhat ambiguous conclusion, although it's not entirely ambiguous. The plot sort of gets resolved. Now, one of the strange things about apples is that even though it appears to take place in our own time, it doesn't really look very much like our own time. The guy is playing tapes. He's not getting things on the internet. And nobody seems to have cell phones or anything like that. So, you know, and that, of course, would change everything. And it's not really explained why these things are not in the movie, in the setup for the movie. But that is really maybe quibbling too much, or not quibbling, but questioning too much, because Apples is a deliberately strange and slightly disorienting movie. It's developed in a pretty quiet way. Its strangeness is treated as if it were ordinariness, and the acting in it is very, very good. So if you're interested in a really moody, offbeat, quirky, strange experience, it's not too long, it's about an hour and a half, then you might enjoy Apples. And again, it's always nice to see a movie from a country that doesn't import all that films into the United States these days. Good to see a Greek movie by another member of this sort of wave of Greek filmmakers who like making strange movies. Speaking of strange movies, our next movie is not really all that strange, but it is in fact a documentary. But as documentaries go, it's a bit peculiar. It's called Dreaming Walls. And the full title, it has a, even though the subtitle doesn't appear in the actual movie itself, it's also known as Dreaming Walls Inside the Chelsea Hotel. And it is in fact a documentary about the fabled, legendary Chelsea Hotel in New York City, in Manhattan. And this is a European film. But it's very much about this hotel, and again, it's a documentary, and it takes us into the hotel, and we meet a whole lot of the people who live there and some of the people who run the place. So the big thing that's going on in this movie, Dreaming Walls, is that the Chelsea, it turns out, is being totally renovated in all kinds of ways. It's being developed into a much more upscale place than it has traditionally been. It's always been a kind of a beatnik kind of a place, it was sort of scruffy and downscale, and the rooms were not fancy, and the paint was sort of coming off the walls. And now they really want to turn it into a much more fancy and upscale kind of a place. And so we meet people who live in the hotel who are very unhappy about this, and some who are sort of, you know, they're taking it in stride. And we meet some of the people who run the hotel. Now, the thing about Dreaming Walls is that it is kind of a dreaming kind of a movie. It is not a straightforward documentary that simply says, this is what we're doing, and this is how it's being done, and this is what's going on. And the whole thing is very peculiar in a lot of ways. It's sort of a dreaming movie about this this hotel and what's going on there. And the people we meet very often, and this I think is a flaw in the movie, I don't think it's an interesting quality of it. A lot of times the people you meet in there in the movie who talk to the camera or talk to each other, there's no indication who they are, or there's very little indication of who they are. And that can be sort of frustrating. Who is this person? Why is this person saying these particular things? So it's sort of a bizarre movie in that way. The Chelsea Hotel is a very interesting place. I've been within it. I remember doing a memorable interview with the great filmmaker Shirley Clarke there many years ago, and she shows up for about 2 seconds in the movie. And mostly, though, we see a very old building, and we see a lot of mostly very old people who live there and have lived there for a long time, and we hear their points of view on the place. And again, if you like offbeat documentaries that leave a lot sort of up in the air, but deal with a famous place and you give a very atmospheric portrait of it, if anything the portrait is too atmospheric, then you'll enjoy Dreaming Walls. It's a very interesting documentary, if not always a very informative one. So now for our big movie of the week, Nope. I just saw somewhere online that this has been the most anticipated movie of the year. Well, maybe so. It is written and directed by Jordan Peele, a tremendously gifted black filmmaker who likes to make very odd horror movies. In this case, it's more of a science fiction horror movie that deal in metaphorical ways with the real ills of contemporary society, especially contemporary American society. So he made Get Out, Wonderful title for a movie, which is a horror movie that deals very much, among other things, with racial tensions. And then he made a movie called Us, which deals in a lot of very strange ways. It's another horror movie with the problems of America. At one point, one of the horribly violent people in the movie is asked who they are. Who are you, horrible, violent person? And the answer is Americans. And that sort of explains the title as well, which is Us, U.S., which has more than one meaning. So that's the sort of thing that Jordan Peele does. And he does it again in Nope, which is by all means his biggest movie. Obviously, it has the highest budget, has the biggest cast, and it's just overloaded with special effects, and I found it a very flawed, fascinating, but flawed enterprise. I can't say that I think it's a great movie of any kind, but you know, it certainly is very, very interesting to watch and try to figure out. It is also one of these movies that really divides people. There are critics, and critics who I really think are very smart critics and who I really respect, who are saying, this is just a big confusing mess. You can't figure out what's going on. Well, it's not quite that confusing. But there are many times in the movie where I really truly believe it is just not clear what is going on. And I don't think this is one of the pluses of the movies. I think that this confusion is one of the problems with the movie, although the movie has a whole lot of really interesting qualities along the way. So it stars Daniel Kaluuya and Kiki Palmer as brother and sister. His name is OJ. There's something that's metaphorical for you right there. And her name is Emerald. And they deal with horses. By the way, Jill, you are a horse lover, and this is a movie that has a fair number of horses in it. So they deal with horses, and they wrangle horses for movies and commercials and things like that. So that is what sets the whole movie into motion. They're wrangling a horse for a commercial, and then various strange things start happening. Also, even before we meet them, we find out about something that happened in the past. We find out that there was a TV show which had a lovable chimpanzee as one of the main characters, and one day the chimpanzee went berserk, or perhaps I should say ran amok, and caused horrifying violence and destruction. And that turns out to be a sort of a backstory of the movie that we're watching, even though it took place in the past. And the child star who appeared alongside the chimpanzee, who survived this episode of horror, is now an adult and is one of the major characters in the movie. Another major character is a man named Angel, who is a techie and who helps our wranglers with various technical obstacles that they run into at various points in the movie. And there's some other characters too, including a camera operator, a cinematographer, who comes into the picture to help solve the mystery at the center of the movie. So I said before, this is a horror movie, but it's really more of a science fiction movie. And it turns out that there might be a flying saucer in the sky. The very beginning, the father of OJ and Emerald is killed by something that falls out of the sky, and this turns out to be connected with a flying saucer that may or may not be there. Well, it doesn't take too long in the movie's story before we find out that the flying saucer is very, very much there. Yes, 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 it is. And it has to be dealt with because it appears to be doing awful things to people. So that's what we have in this movie. We have horse wranglers, we have a flying saucer up in the sky which does damaging things down here on Earth. We have this backstory that took place in the past of the chimpanzee going berserk, and we have all kinds of other elements in the movie as well. So what is all this about? Well, one of the things it's about is Jordan Peele's effort to make a movie that is part science fiction, part horror, and part Western. It does have all these horses in it. I don't think he quite pulls off this mix. And in fact, I think one of the problems with the movie is that the last part, for a while, it's very interesting. You sort of figure out what's going on, and there's all sorts of strange turns of fate for various characters in various situations. But the whole last part of the movie is just action film. It's just a lot of running and jumping and this and that and special effects. And, oh, I was disappointed in that. I think that Jordan Peele can do stuff much more interesting than sort of ordinary action movie type stuff. That said, up until we get to that part where I think the movie sort of devolves, it's just sort of interesting to follow it along and try to figure out what's going on and not worry too much about figuring it out. I have to say, I don't think everybody's also saying that Nope is a phenomenally original film, nothing like it ever before. Well, you know, just by total coincidence, the other day, I saw a British film from the late 50s, which opened in America under the title The Crawling Eye, and a big mystery in the whole first part of The Crawling Eye. It's a very sort of B horror movie, is that there's a cloud that doesn't move. What might be behind that cloud? Well, we have the same thing in Nope. We have a cloud that doesn't move, and of course, what turns out to be but behind it is the flying saucer. So, you know, Nope is not even all that original. Do I think it's totally confusing? As I said, I don't think it's totally confusing, but I do think it's pretty confused. I don't think that Jordan Peele has successfully fused all the elements of it. And even though there's critics who feel, and I'm sure moviegoers, who feel that he brilliantly has concocted this multi-part movie which successfully blends these different genres, there are other critics who feel that it totally fails at doing that, and I'm sort of in between. I found Nope a very flawed, but fascinating, but flawed movie. And can I say yup to it? Sort of, but mostly I have to say not yup or nope, but maybe. So that is my partly science fictional story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, as always, and ever, David Starrett, Films in Focus, the films Apples, Dreaming Walls, and Nope.